Neil, what's it like not having to be up here? Strange. Yeah. Matthew, where are you at? Great set. Yeah, they put Matthew in charge. God is good. Had a crazy time here last night, for those that maybe don't know, watching my internet. We allowed a group of adults to use our facility down here, the garage, for homecoming dance for the kids. And they estimate we had 250 kids or plus. And what took us, how long do you think to blow up those balloons? Had like 1,000 balloons we blew up, they blew up. I did a little bit of it. But it took them 30 seconds to bust them all. Once they let them loose and they fell down, the kids, instead of dancing amongst the balloons, they stomped them. But that's kids. But I've got a little, like John said, I got a little flack for using the church facility for a worldly thing. How else are you going to reach them, people? Give me a break. Well, they might have snuck off and got high. They probably did, but they come back to the church property, and the Holy Spirit was here. I'm telling you. But it was all good. We had one incident that Brad squelched in about 10 seconds, but otherwise it was just, I looked through the cameras we've got that cover the area, and I seen kids running by, and I thought, what in the world? I mean, running. And Brad told me this morning, some of the freshmen were playing hide and seek. So, I mean, that's how crazy a party we had. But it was good, all good.
Just fun.
You were kids once. You were still kids some. Yeah, yeah. And back to the story on Ashley paying my way into the John, I took John with me, and we were on the way there, and I was getting close, and like habit, I reached in to grab money to pay to get in. I went, oh, I don't even have my license. I'd forgot everything out of my pockets. And I said, John, you got any money? No.
Oh, no.
Well, we looked behind us, and we seen a gray pickup, and we thought it was Jeremy, and it was Ashley. Ashley, could you pay our way in? So we pulled up to pay, and I said, they're going to take care of it. And she went, you sure? But anyway, so she paid for ours, and then she paid for Jeremy, who came in right behind her. The kids did good, though. It was a fun game. They did real good, actually. First in state's pretty good. Yeah, they did good. Go to, if you will, go to Exodus chapter 14. First, I'm going to read this scripture we've been bouncing off of. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you're going to give me what I need to say, short and long, whatever you've got. Thank you that the presence and your anointing is already here. And we thank you that you're going to touch the bases. You're going to heal them. Make well, and we thank you for it. And Father, while it's on my heart, just come up, lift up Greg. And I thank you, Father, that he's going to get stronger and stronger day by day. And we thank you for that. Thank you that Robin and the kids have got extra grace to walk through this. We give you all the praise, Father. Thank you for the word now, in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8 says, stay alert, watch out, for a great enemy, the devil, he is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know, there's nobody here, nobody by the sound of my voice on the internet, that does not need victory every day of their life. Breakthrough every day of their life. Many times, like John spoke, the veil is over us in many areas of our life, and we don't see how to get out of it. We don't see clearly what the word says about it. Well, I want to walk through a little bit and help you today, because I know if this took place all the way back when Exodus took place, God had a reason for it to be in there. Exodus 14, I'm going to read a few scriptures out of here. See, if God's in everything that goes on in your life, I don't care what it is. No different than all the young people here last night. We had those that probably snuck off and did things they shouldn't have been doing, according to you and I. But yet, God knew that already. Listen to me. He knows your problems. He knows where Greg's at. He already has all this. But we've got to come to the place of recognizing that we've got to stop looking at the problem. And we've got to go to the promise. Now, you've heard me say that a million times, but you've still got a veil over your eyes. Many of us do. Because I've got things and you've got things that we wish we weren't involved in, wish we weren't going through, wish it didn't happen, go on and on and on with all that. But he already knew my today. He already knew everything that took place here last. He already knew all this. We're so. You think you know everything between these ears? Not only don't you know, that's your problem. Because we've got to get what's in our heart and work out of our heart. We've got to recognize. I want to read from 10 to 15. And I want to read you the problem. We know what took place here in this set of scriptures. This is when the Israelites were stopped next to the Red Sea, and there was something coming behind them that they didn't like. It says, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to have served the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Crazy. How many's been there? The problem come upon us, and we can't see a way out. But I'm telling you, God already has a way out. It goes on in this set of scripture. It says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall not see again, no more ever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.'" They already knew this, but the veil had them covered. Because back in the beginning of the 14th chapter, God spoke to Moses and said, "Tell the people that they're coming, and you're basically, if you read it, they're coming and you're caught, but I will deliver you." But yet they go right back into, just like we do, we go through a problem, God gets us out. We go through a problem, God gets us out. We go through a problem, God gets us out. When are we going to recognize we don't have to worry about the problem? We just have to walk through it. That's all we have to do. And recognize that God got away. Verse 15, it says, And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Well, see, we don't want to go forward. We want to talk about our problem. We want to complain and gripe because it's not our way. We want it our way. Basically, that's probably the problem with all of us. If it's not my way, it's not the right way. God knows what you're going through. Every one of us. Sometimes we got a call yesterday morning and said that Dad was unconscious. And looks like that maybe he's going to be shutting down. So my sister Dawn run down first, was down there. Then I was able to get away with Scott, and we run up there. And Joyce is in Lexington, Kentucky, and she's freaking out. So we run up there, and we got up there, and the nurse met us at the door and said, "You won't believe this. He's eating." I said, "No, I believe it. That's Dad." But do you think God didn't already know this? And if he would have passed away, God already knew that. That's with every situation we've got, folks. It's just that simple. Get to the place where you're looking at the promise. Get to the place where you're walking with him. Get to the place where, look, verse 20 in that same chapter, it says, So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Let me back up, 19. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. In other words, the Lord stepped in and blocked them from coming on through to the place where they were terrified to come after the Israelites. God has the answer. And it says in verse 20, it says, thus it was a cloud of darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so the one did not come near the other all night. The answer. He's always given us, listen to the victory in verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. The old movie, Ten Commandments. Isn't that crazy how that's what you see? It said it went all night. It said the wind blew all night. So he had to have help holding his hand up, the staff up, over what took place. That's what's so exciting about around here. I may be the pastor, but this church is nothing without everybody that's below it. I'm just one person. I'm just the guy that got stuck with it. But every time I get weary, somebody holds my hand up. That's what's happened here. And picture it. It's separated, and it said to the people, if you read on in there, to the people that walked through the Israelites, walls of water on both sides, the confidence you would have to have trusting in what's going on. I mean, the list goes on and on of what takes place. But see, God knows. See, our job is to thank him for the promises. Our job is then to be obedient to move forward. And our job is to then trust him and know that he's got it. See, he's given us everything that you'll ever need. Matthew 16, 19 says this. He gives us keys to bind the enemy. He gives us this authority, and you say, well, I've done that and it don't work. But it does work. It works for those that have faith that it does work. Well, it didn't work for me all the time. Well, it doesn't work for me all the time. But it does work. I've seen it in my life. We take the authority and we bind the enemy. We bind the adversary. We come against the demonic forces. You think I didn't do that for the mess that was here last night? Part of the reason I come up early, about 6:15, 6:30, was to spend time in my office to come against any powers of darkness that would try to come upon this property and think they could stay. You say, well, who are you? I'm just a person like you that uses the authority that we have to come against that. See, I know it works. We take that authority in binding and loosing. We take that authority in holding back. But then we've got to continue on, and we've got to stand, and we've got to move forward. How do you move forward? By confessing the word. There's nothing more powerful than the word. I don't care what your age is, young people. I don't care what your age is. You know, and you don't pray. Mallory, you don't pray that the other team loses. That used to be that's how we did. No, you pray that you do the best you can do, and whoever wins, wins. And that's the way it was. Key plays take place, and kids do their job, and you win. Or you're like the Dodgers, and we let them win, the Cardinals, so they'd lose to the Giants. I had to throw that in. You confess the word. Hebrews 4:12 tells us that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides my thoughts and my intents. See, if we can get the word out, if we can speak the word over the situation, then we've got angelic beings doing the work for us and moving and helping us in every situation and circumstance. Maybe last night, if we could have really seen in the spirit realm, there may have been all kinds of forces in the angelic realm protecting the young people that are playing hide and seek. But that's where they were at, and they were having a good time, and who cares? But you had others maybe trying to or thinking about doing other things that may have caused them to get on the streets and cause damage and got hurt. No. Because the word works. And the word knows already. And our place is to stand our ground. See, 1 Corinthians 16:13, the New Living Translation, says, be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. See, Moses had to put up with all these people. Even though he just told them, hey, we got a circumstance situation. God already knows it. God is loosing the Egyptians to come after you. And he's doing that to show them and to show you. See, lots of times in our life we walk through things that God uses those. And sometimes he sets them up. I don't believe Connie was sick and unhealthy because her faith was weak. I think God knew she was strong enough to let her walk through many things that most people will never walk through to show people that you could do it if you trust God. I believe that with all my heart. We got condemned and criticized by the faith movement more than I can even tell you. Well, if she had more faith, she wouldn't be sick like this. I wanted to go. Maybe there was flaw. Maybe there was mistakes. Maybe there was error. But you think God didn't know all of that? Come on. This is our life. Every day we go through stuff. Everybody here needs victory. We have the victory. You say, but you don't know what I'm going through. You know, there's not very many that knows what Robin's going through right now. If you haven't been there, you can't say, I know how you feel. If you lose a loved one close to you, you can't say, I know how you feel, unless you have. But God's grace is sufficient. And the best place she can be is right where she's at. In faith, in trust, in standing, and quoting the word. There's nothing more powerful than that in the world. Because it works. It's a guarantee to work in your life. See, we got to come to that place. Now, we trust his word. But then we've got to have that same place of having that response that we trust his word. We've got to come to that place in our life where this hit me and this is bad. Well, it's simple as $5. I mean, if she hadn't been behind us, I don't know if they would have let us in. I would have had to say, keep my car. I'll walk in until I find somebody that'll give me $5 and I'll bring it back. I mean, I don't know. But it's a place of, he already knew. UPS had just pulled in my house and unloaded some stuff that we were getting ready to build a frisbee. What do you call it, Tony? Disc golf. We're going to put up 9 holes in our backyard. So I bought 9 of these things. They showed up right when me and John was going to be leaving. So my mind wasn't on, but God knew all that already. And he put us, her right. What's the chances of her being right besides her driving fast? What's the chance of her having $5 or $15? I mean, it's simple things like this. You think, well, this is every day in every one of our lives, no matter what your age is. I don't care. If you open your eyes and you start looking, he's always there. He's always taking care of you, whether you're a heathen or not. Whether you're messing up or not. Nobody here messes up ever. So they know God's always with them. You prideful thing, you. You don't have one bad thought all day. I know you're perfect in every way. But God's still with you even though you're full of pride. That's why he's here, because we're full of pride. He's taking care of us. But see, he's got us. He's taking care of us. Romans 8:17 says, listen to this. If we share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Well, you mean sometimes bad things are going on? God knows it? I didn't say God made them, but he knows it? Well, sure. And is there suffering in it? Well, sure. I want to flip over. I want to read 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10 I got wrote down. Yes, 5, 8 through 10. Listen to this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You mean this is part of it? That I'm going to go through hard times for a reason? Yes. Because whatever you go through, he knows it. And whatever you go through, he's got it. And whatever you go through, Connie's favorite scripture, Romans 8:28. He's got it all. Listen to what it says. We know that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose for them. But then it says in Ephesians 1:11, he chose us in advance and he makes everything work out according to his plan. That's what it says in the scripture. Let me give you a little hint to have a better day tomorrow. Would you just get up and start enjoying your day? Would you just get up and stay out of everybody else's business? Would you just get up and quit trying to get your way? Would you just get up and trust God from moment to moment to moment to moment? Be smart to ask for wisdom at the very beginning. Lord, I need wisdom today. I don't know what's coming, but give me wisdom on every circumstance. And then just do like we've said around here forever. Get up. Love God, love people, and go back to bed. Now, don't do that in the first hour. I'm talking, make this happen all day. And recognize that God has got you, and he's going to take care of you. We got to be at the place where when something hits, we pray. When something hits, we speak the promises. When something hits, we walk in that authority that we've got. When something hits, we come to that place of total trust and recognize that whatever is going on, he's got this. Listen, we're going to be singing a song coming up. Come to that place in your life where you get so caught up in his presence that you're not worried about the problem. I can't tell you that. The amount of times that I have said, I cannot do this. And come in here or in my office or wherever I'm at, and all I had to do is say that. And he just would go, whew. And all that we would go through would just seem like it's nothing. And we would look at, we would come out the other side and look back and say, how did we possibly get through that? And then we go again. And then we see the problem, and then we train ourselves. Part of this is your responsibility. We train ourselves to go, yeah, Lord, I've got a problem. But you've got the answer. And come to that place where we can step into his presence and let him take care of it. He'll do it every day. Quit mouthing off. Quit losing your temper. There's a thing called tea kettle anger where you just brew and brew and brew and then all of a sudden you blow a lid. Don't even brew. Just automatically give it to God. Recognize that he's got this. Recognize that if we can just step into his presence, we know that we know that we know that he's going to have this. Let's stand up.
Just wanna sit here at your feet. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, Jesus, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, Jesus, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else, Jesus. Nothing else will do. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to see. At your feet, I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings, Jesus. You don't know.
Circumstances, you are going to walk us through that. We will have the victory. And we do thank you for that, Father. We give you all the praise of the day. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be a glorious day wherever we go, whatever we do. We give you all the praise this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Call you blessed. You are dismissed. If you'll funnel through here and sign your name on the dotted line, it'll sure help us tomorrow.